Both sides in the Derek Chauvin trial have now rested, and closing arguments will begin on Monday. This morning, Chauvin decided not to take the stand in defense of charges he faces in the killing of George Floyd. The former Minneapolis police officer invoked the Fifth Amendment and spoke in the courtroom for the first time when Judge Peter Cahill asked him the following questions.
Is this your decision not to testify?
It is, Your Honor.
All right. Do you have any questions about your right to remain silent or to testify on your own behalf?
Not at this time, I don't.
For more on arguments in this trial, we're joined by Georgetown law professor and former federal prosecutor Paul Butler. Paul, welcome to Here and Now.
It's great to be here.
Yes. So what do you make of Chauvin's decision not to testify?
This was the most important decision of his life. Legally, his side does not even have to put on a defense. The government has the heavy burden of proof, and Chauvin has a constitutional right not to testify. Still, jurors like to hear from the accused person. The concern for the defense was that Chauvin would be destroyed by the prosecutors on cross-examination, or that his testimony could have opened the door to evidence of the many complaints that citizens have made against him in the past in other cases.
To your point that the burden is on the prosecution to really build this case, the goal of the defense is really to sow reasonable doubt in the mind of at least one juror. In your opinion, have they done that during these 2 days of presenting their witnesses?
So the prosecution was very effective at presenting strong witnesses who suggested that Chauvin's use of force violated his training and police regulations. The prosecution's medical experts were united in saying that Chauvin's knee on Floyd's neck was a substantial factor in Floyd's death. And that's the legal requirement to convict Chauvin of murder and manslaughter. So I think the defense was not great on use of force, but better on causation. The problem for the defense is how this case is different from most other prosecutions of police officers, because in those cases, the cops have shot somebody. And that's a split-second decision. Here, Chauvin had more than 9 minutes, and he didn't adapt his use of force, even during the more than 2 minutes that he knew Mr. Floyd didn't have a pulse. On causation of death, in the course of the trial, defense lawyers have suggested that Mr. Floyd died of a drug overdose or heart disease or lung disease or COVID-19 or carbon monoxide poisoning.
Right.
And they don't have to prove any of these theories. They just have to create reasonable doubt about whether Chauvin is responsible for Mr. Floyd's death.
Well, on that argument of carbon monoxide, this morning prosecutors asked to bring back their expert pulmonologist, Dr. Martin Tobin, to rebut defense medical expert Dr. David Fowler's testimony yesterday about carbon monoxide from the police car and how that might have contributed to Floyd's death. The judge warned that there could actually be a mistrial over this. Why is the prosecution doing this? Is this a risky strategy?
Well, that testimony concluded with no mistrial. The judge said that he would not allow evidence about test results regarding carbon monoxide found in Mr. Floyd's system, but he allowed the expert to talk generally about carbon monoxide poisoning. And Tanya, I think strategically, this was a huge win for the prosecution because the expert witness who testified, Dr. Tobin, might have been the government's best witness. He's an excellent communicator to judges. He's very knowledgeable, and he puts things in a way that you don't have to be a doctor to understand. And so the prosecution got to have the last word with a very effective witness.
Can we talk about something else? Excited delirium. Earlier this week, a Minneapolis police officer testified that police in the city are trained to recognize signs of this, of excited delirium, to bolster the defense's claim that an agitated George Floyd put up unusual resistance in his arrest. This is a disputed concept. Can you explain a little bit about why, and why did Chauvin's lawyers actually bring this up?
Excited delirium is a theory that when people are in very stressful situations, they have physical and mental reactions that can include acting aggressively and having superhuman strength. But it's a term that defense attorneys use more than doctors because it's not actually recognized by most medical associations. And defense attorneys often use it to justify violence against Black bodies, like when defense attorney Eric Nelson in this case told the jurors that they would see that three police officers could not control George Floyd. And studies show that police are much more likely to say that Black suspects had excited delirium than white suspects. It plays on stereotypes of Black thugs with brute strength, high-end drugs. The problem for the defense is that the jurors have gotten to know Mr. Floyd, and that's probably not the picture that they have of him.
Paul Butler, thank you so much for your time and expertise. Paul Butler is a professor at the George Washington University Law Center.
Always a pleasure.